In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the cross is the power of God. And yet, Jews demand not the cross, but signs. And Greeks seek not the cross, but wisdom. Even today. For even today, so little has changed, it seems. So some continue to wait on impressive deeds. Others continue to wait on impressive words. Each man looks to his own preferred way of advancing himself. Some rally the faithful few into this or that cult of a charismatic personality. I follow Paul, declare some of the Corinthians. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. But the word of the cross is the power of God. The shameful death of a criminal executed on a cross is the power of God. Now that's going to be a hard sell in your average American marketplace, isn't it? Not impossible, mind you. Not a formula for inevitable failure, mind you, but it will be a challenge nonetheless. A genuine challenge. And you won't be able to sugarcoat the word of the cross as you attempt to proclaim it without robbing it of its power. So what are you going to do when ultimately every man's question in the average American marketplace is going to be, what's in it? What's in the cross for me? Well, what is in the cross for me? Here and now, success, manifest and tangible? Certainly not. A philosophical highway to a higher plane of being? Not exactly. If anything, the cross represents for all who embrace it an entirely different arrangement, an entirely different guarantee. For not only is the cross to be embraced, according to the biblical testimony, the cross is to be lived. Now I ask you, at least from the perspective of our marketplace, what kind of a deal is that? Who's going to be interested in that? The Jew? The Greek? Anyone? Indeed, declares Luther, it goes from bad to worse, or at least seems to, after all. Think about it. That the body and blood of Christ are offered us in the Lord's Supper. That baptism is the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That the dead will rise on the last day. That Christ, the Son of God, was conceived and carried in the body of a virgin, was raised again, now sits at the right hand of the Father, and holds power in heaven and on earth. All this, not just the word of the cross, narrowly defined, all this seems to the world, to our marketplace at least, ridiculous and absurd. And why? Because God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He has chosen the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no flesh may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, declares St. Paul, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Great. God has chosen to annoy and marginalize everyone. Or has he? Well, no. Not everyone. Just those who find themselves wise and strong. Just those who find themselves influential and noble. But to the rest, brothers, think of what you were when you were called, declares Paul, to the rest. He gives power. For the word of the cross is the power of God. Where is the wise man? Where is the academician? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Jews continue to demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ and him crucified. A stumbling block to those Jews and foolishness to those Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks and even a few Americans as well, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let the one who boasts, therefore, boast in the Lord.